Calling all small firm architects. It's time to tap into your full potential with Entree Architects Context and Clarity, where inspiration meets innovation. Hey, it's Mark R. LePage, founder of Entree Architect, and I'm inviting you to join my two favorite co-hosts, Jeff Eccles and Katie Kangas, as they bring together authors, experts, and thought leaders for electric conversations with entrepreneur architects around the globe. It's not just a podcast. It's a community where dreams meet action.
There's a simple equation there. And what for me, what that did, just doing that basic calculation, was it allowed me to compare what I had actually saved in my retirement accounts to what I thought a possible projected annual spend might be.
Artists are temperamental, so beautiful design is going to be a priority. When the job is done, we're going to actually need to live in the house, not live with the person who designed it. And so for me, the artistic skill, the architectural skill is most important. And so I would say like that would be 60% of it, if not more.
Gain insights to build a successful practice. Subscribe, engage, and let's redefine your future together. Join the Context and Clarity community, where every conversation adds to your blueprint for success. This is the Entrepreneur Architect Podcast, episode 68. Welcome back to the Entrepreneur Architect Podcast. My name is Mark R. LePage, and this is the podcast dedicated to a successful life as a small firm architect. Whether you have plans to someday start your own firm, you're in the process of launching a startup, or you might be an experienced small firm architect just trying to make a difference, this podcast is for you. My goal is to inspire you to build a better business so that you may pursue your purpose with passion and live the life of your dreams. Do you ever wonder what might happen if you chose not to work late on a deadline because you needed to take care of your family? Do you ever daydream about working part-time but wonder how it might impact your career? Do you ever wonder what it would be like to stay home on Fridays with your little baby? Or to leave work early every day to get your kids off the bus, or to leave early most days to see your kids' soccer games or swim meets or baseball practice? How would these impact your career? Maybe others would think that you couldn't travel anymore, or maybe you wouldn't be given the premier projects because others think that you're less available. And maybe they'd be right. Is this going to delay your career progress? And does it matter? That's a quote from a recent entry at the new blog, arkamom.com. Do you ever wonder? Do you ever wonder what life would be like if the profession evolved to universally accept flex time in remote studios? Do you ever wonder what it would be like if our profession and our professional cultures throughout the world could put a priority on raising families over making money? Do you ever wonder what could happen when one person recognizes a problem and decides to take a lead to find a solution? Well, today on the Entrepreneur Architect Podcast, I'm speaking with the founder of Arkamom.com. Amy Kaler is one such person who's decided to stop watching from the sidelines. She's a leader in our profession, and she is pushing us all to wonder. Support for everything we do here at Entrepreneur Architect is provided by our platform sponsor, FreshBooks, the easiest way to send invoices, manage expenses, and track your time. For a free 30-day trial, visit freshbooks.com/architect. Amy Kaler, welcome to the Entrepreneur Architect Podcast.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Thanks for taking your time and joining with us. You're a mom.
I am.
You have two kids. And like me, you're married to an architect.
Yes.
Who, from what I understand, is also on his way to becoming an attorney.
Yes.
That's pretty exciting.
Very.
And you yourself, you're an architect. You work for a large healthcare firm in Minneapolis, mm-hmm. and you're very involved in the profession. So you are one crazy busy lady.
It's true.
You weren't busy enough. You decided in January that you wanted to launch a blog, and at the blog you write weekly about your life as a mom and your life with your career in architecture, and the blog is called arcamom.com. But before we get into that, I want to do what we always do here at the Entrepreneur Architect Podcast, talk about you. I'd like to know your origin story. When did you decide to become an architect? Why did you become an architect? And sort of tell us your journey from that point to where you are today.
Sure. So I think, like a lot of architects, I knew from a pretty young age that I wanted to be an architect. It wasn't until I took a drafting class, I think, in maybe even junior high, not even high school, and they had the old blueprint machine with the really smelly, stinky chemicals, and we drew up house plans, and I thought, wow, that was pretty fun. And so in high school, I took some more classes, and one of the classes that I took took us through a tour of like downtown Minneapolis and St. Paul, and the teacher was a great lover of architecture and just really appreciated some fantastic buildings. And so we went and we toured a bunch of those, and I was like, yeah, this is definitely what I want to do. And it was funny, I only applied to one school of architecture. I didn't apply anywhere else, and I just knew it was what I wanted to do. And once I found the school, I knew where I wanted to go. So I went to college in Montana State, University in Bozeman, and studied architecture there. And between undergrad and grad school, I worked on the West Coast a little bit and finished up grad school. And I noticed in grad school that there weren't a lot of women in my class, but I thought that was a Montana thing. You know, I was out kind of in the middle of nowhere. Bozeman's nestled between three mountain ranges, and you know, I wasn't on a coastal. Going to school on a coastal school, and I thought, oh, you know, maybe that's it. And when I go back home to Minneapolis, there'll be more women. And I didn't really think much beyond that. And then I eventually did come back to Minneapolis, which is, I'm from here. My family is still here. And my master's thesis in college was an elementary school. And I really, really truly believe that as an architect, you can impact how well people fill in the blank. You can impact how well people learn, how well people heal, how well people work in their environment through architecture. And I've long since believed that. And I really thought education is a key area where you can impact how well a child learns by their learning environment. And I did K-12 for quite a while, and I loved it. But then I also recognized that healthcare environments really can impact how well we heal, and that that I could have a big influence on that through healthcare architecture. And so in 2007, I joined my current firm, HGA Architects and Engineers, and I've been a healthcare architect here ever since. And even throughout my entire journey to this point, it really wasn't until I started having kids that I was like, wow, where are the women? HGA is a great firm to work for. We have a lot of women in leadership roles, and actually a lot of moms in leadership roles here. And I feel so fortunate to work at a firm that is really supportive of women in the profession. And I was able to get, I kind of reached a critical point, a turning point in my career where I was really ready to take the next step and advance my career. And I was able to get the career advice that I was looking for through a lot of the women that are here. My healthcare department is nearly 50% women. So I had a lot of mentors that I could call on, which was great. But a lot of the women that were in senior leadership, their kids were older and they were also really busy. And so I started kind of networking with some moms in the area to find out. Like, I remember vividly one night I was, as you mentioned, my husband's in law school. My team was working on a deadline. Everybody was here at the office, but I had to go home because my husband had class to take care of the kids. So I went home and I took care of the kids and got them nestled into bed. And then I got my computer up and I started to work, and something crashed. The network connection, Revit, something. And I was like, oh my, it was completely overwhelming. And I couldn't help my team, and I was really frustrated. And I thought, there's got to be a better way. There's got to be some network of support. How do other working parents do this? And I hopped online and looked for something, and there was resources nationally. AIA National had some women in architecture stuff, but there wasn't really anything locally. And that night I went to bed, and it was one of those nights where I couldn't sleep because my mind was racing, and I knew that I had to do something. I had to take action. So the next day I got in touch with a friend of mine that I knew also had a young daughter. And I said, hey, do you deal with some of these like work balance, work-life balance issues? And she was like, yeah, I totally do. And I'm like, and I'm trying to advance my career, and I'm struggling because of this, that, and the other thing. And she's like, yes, I do. And so we decided to get together and just have a book club on Sheryl Sandberg's Lean In. And we got a ton of people to come, and it was really pretty overwhelming. And we thought, okay, we've got to take advantage of this. And that all rolled into developing the Women in Architecture Committee with the AIA Minnesota. And then I also continued with a more inclusive group. That's the Women in Architecture and Design Twin Cities, which involves architects, interior designers, engineers, real estate professionals, and anybody that really wants to come. And it leveraged me and encouraged me to start something even within my own firm. So we have Women in Architecture at HGA. And there's some conversations that have started with that. And really, it was that turning point, that night that my head hit my keyboard and tears just started flowing, thinking there's got to be a better way, that it launched me on this path of trying to just create a support network for women that are trying to advance in our profession. And when I dug into the numbers, it was really like, what is going on here? We're graduating 42% women, and yet only, I think, like 16 or 17% are AIA members, and 20% including associate AIA members. So licensed and non-licensed AIA members are 20% women. And I thought, well, that's half. Where did the rest go? What's going on? And that kind of launched everything for me. It was the starting point, and it's just continued. There's been a lot of support and momentum behind all of the efforts that I've been doing.
Well, it sounds like you've been even busier. So how often do you meet with those local groups?
So the Women in Architecture Committee meets once a month. That's with the AIA. We meet once a month to collaborate and figure out what we're doing. And then we have an event about once a month. Maybe like, I think we're aiming like 8 to 10 times a year. Mm-hmm. The Women in Architecture and Design, it was meeting quarterly. And now we're trying to move it every 6 weeks. That group does basically a book club a lot of times. So we pick a book, we read it and talk about it, but I've started to intersperse some other events in there. We recently watched, we had a video event where we watched a part of Google's talk on unconscious bias. We there was a TED talk on the career advice that women tend to never get, which is about business acumen. And we watched another one. I don't know if you're familiar with Carla Harris. She's a speaker, and she spoke at Take the Lead launch event, and she just some really inspiring words, and had discussions around those. The HGA group, we're meeting monthly last year, and we're kind of shaking things up a little bit, trying to figure out the structure here that's going to work. And so that group, we have a core team that meets every other month, and then on the opposite month, we all meet as an individual office, or we try and do a group event.
Do you find that those networking opportunities are helping the situation and helping solve some of the problems that parents have with being full-time professionals?
I think that it's starting. I think that we're on to something. I think that within the Women in Architecture and Design, the community group, that one is really a support network, and that one is a place where women can come and talk about the issues that they're facing and hear from other moms on, or other, you know, other professionals on what issues they're dealing with and the struggles that they face, and kind of get advice from, you know, more senior women and some of the younger women. It's a great networking place for jobs, actually. We've had people exchange resumes, and people talk about what's working in their firm and what's not working in their firm and the struggles that they have. So I think that that one is really starting to get going. The AIA group definitely is starting to make waves. We're talking about a research project and how we can do that. I spoke last year at the AIA Minnesota convention on the topic. It was called Establishing the Business Case for Women in Architecture. And that really, I think, is starting to make an impact. I've made that presentation widely available to anybody that's interested. I'm happy to share it. But other people are starting to take that presentation and give it within their firms to talk about why it's important for firms to support women and why diversity within firms is important. And so I do think that things are starting to happen. And with the other efforts that are happening throughout the country, I think that the momentum is really building, and we are going to start seeing meaningful change. The work that Rosa Shang is doing with the Missing 32%, and I know you've interviewed her before, and AIA National, somebody from AIA National contacted me through my blog, actually, to talk about how do we better support moms that are coming back after a leave of absence, whether that be they've just had a baby and they're gone for the kind of more traditional 12 weeks that's allowed by FMLA, or they've been gone for 12 years. How do we better support them to on-ramp back into their profession? And I was really, really heartened to hear that AIA National is interested in this and interested in taking action.
Yeah, I find that once an independent architect decides that they're going to take the lead and that they're going to go make a difference, and that's when momentum starts.
Right.
You know, it works from the bottom up. It doesn't work from the top down. The AIA only is responding because there are members like you who are taking the leadership and deciding that this is an issue that is important, that this is something that we need to address, and you're doing something about it. You're not just sitting there complaining that the AIA is not doing what they're supposed to be doing. You're starting these groups. You're meeting with these people. You started a blog. You're making waves. You're making the issues come to light, and you're giving an opportunity for other women and dads to have a support group and a way to make change. So I applaud you for that.
Thank you. And I think you brought up a really key point. You said, and dads. And I think that it's one thing to have a conversation in any of this, whether we're talking about women, diversity, or moms in the profession. Men are a huge part of this conversation and have to be a huge part of the conversation. I felt really fortunate. I got to attend the Missing 32% Equity by Design conference last year.
Yep.
And boy, there is an agent for change. That was a powerful, powerful conference. And I was really excited to see, not a ton, but a number of men were there. And these are really influential men that have a platform where they can start to influence people. I think that whenever I'm talking about the unique issues that moms face, a lot of times dads face them too. A work-life balance is impossible as a parent, I think, sometimes. And we need to figure out a better way to support moms and dads throughout this. I mean, paid maternity leave is one thing, but paid parental leave would be unbelievably helpful in across the board. And I think that moms, dads, women, men in the profession, everybody needs this conversation to make meaningful change.
I agree. I was at the symposium as well. I think that's where we originally met.
Yep.
I agree. I think that it's important that not only men are involved in the conversation, but they're actively involved in the conversation, because I think the problems are not only women problems, they're industry, they're professional problems. They're problems because dads want to be home to raise their kids too. I mean, that's one of the reasons why Anne Marie and I launched our own firm. So we had that opportunity. We didn't have to ask a firm whether we can do that or not. We built a life that works around that, so we can share that responsibility. But there are many, many architects like yourself who work at very large firms, and you need to create that environment at those firms for the opportunities for moms and dads to raise their children in a meaningful way as well. And so the conversation is critical. And I think the work that Rosa is doing and her group is creating some serious momentum. And I think that the work that you're doing is also creating momentum. And I think the blog is going to have a major impact on what's happening and the conversation that's happening, because with a blog and a weekly blog post, you'll be able to start connecting with the nationally and globally, because that's what happened with Entrepreneur Architect. You start local and you start growing, and all of a sudden you're affecting the entire world. That you get responses from Africa and Australia and all over the world are coming back to me saying, "You look, I have the same problems you have." And I'm sure if it hasn't already happened, it will happen for you as well. That this is not an American problem. This is a global problem. And so it'll be very interesting. So let's talk about the blog. What inspired you to take that next step? Because you're doing this very important work locally. You're very busy as a professional. You're very busy as a mom. Taking on a blog and being consistent to the point where it's really going to have some sort of effect, it needs to be a consistent effort. What inspired you to take that next step?
So I'm not going to lie here, Mark. It was you. It was you. I will never forget. It was right after the convention, and I had just given the talk for establishing the business case for women in architecture. And it was like the day after I gave the talk, or maybe the next day, the convention was still going on. And I woke up in the morning, and the first thing that I do is I grab a cup of coffee, because I'm not a morning person, and I look at my phone. And there on my phone was a tweet that you had tweeted, and it was something like, "Wow, there is a real need here. Why is there not a blog about for moms who are architects?" And I went, "Huh, okay, I need to think about that." And I had to run to a client meeting before I went to the convention, and I went to the client meeting, and I was in the car on the way back, and I had that same like heart racing kind of moment when when I thought I need to start doing something for women in architecture. I had that same heart racing moment. I remember it was kind of a long drive back from the client meeting, and in the car the whole way, I was like, "Oh my gosh, this is absolutely a void that I am able to fill, and one that I do care about a lot." And I kind of needed to think about it, and I wanted to make sure that I did it right. And I honestly, every day it's something new, and it's trial and error, and I don't know what I'm doing, but I look to what other people are doing, and I just do my best, and I keep putting one foot in front of the other and hoping that, someday I'll have made an impact. And already people are starting to write on the blog, write back in the comments section, which is great to hear. And I just knew that you were absolutely right. There's a huge void there, and there was space for that kind of platform. And I thought, I've started these other efforts for women in architecture, and the ball is rolling on them. And it's time for me to step back and let other people start to lead and let other women rise into leadership roles. Right, that's the whole point.
Right.
And so starting to support women to do those efforts a little bit more, and which allowed me a little bit more space to do the blog. And it took me a little while to get it set up. And even still, like, I have a very full life, and there's days I'll almost always try and write my blog posts on Sunday night and launch them by Monday afternoon. And there's been times when I've missed that. And I try and just be forgiving of myself and just say I'm doing the best that I can, because it's hard being a working parent. It's just hard. And you have to be able to forgive yourself sometimes and give yourself the space you need to accomplish what you need to do. And so it truly was, you were just so right about there being an opportunity there. And there really was and is. And so I keep surprising myself. Before I started the blog, I made this big list of rules that I would always try and check, and to make sure that I'm always positive, and that that it's relevant, that I'm posting things that people are going to be interested in. And then I made another list of topics, and so I have all these lists that I almost never reference, because each week something new comes up, and I never expect to write about the thing that I've been writing about. A great example was the one that I, I think it's called Do You Ever Wonder? And I wrote a blog post about, do you ever wonder what would happen if you don't respond to that email at 11 o'clock at night? Or do you ever wonder what would happen if you didn't call back the contractor that's called you three times and that is desperate for information, but you've got to go to your kid's soccer game? And because it's something that I was dealing with at the time, and I was like, you know, and one thing that I often wonder is what would be the impact of if I wanted to work part-time on my career path? And I wonder these things a lot. And I think I'm not the only one that wonders about what if I took that balance that is such a delicate balance between work and home, and I shifted it. What would the impact on both be? And what if I shifted it a little bit? What if I shifted it a lot? What would that impact, and how would I feel about the impact on my career or my home life? And would one, how do you experiment with that to find the right balance and keep your career on the right path? So, I mean, that's just something I sat down that night literally expecting to write about nursing mothers and mothers' rooms, and something entirely different came out.
Yep.
And
that one will have to wait.
Right, exactly. And it happens to me so frequently that I still have this list of things that I wanted to address. And so, you know, I'm just kind of getting started, and I really want to hear from other people and other moms and dads. What do they want to hear about? What are they struggling with? What can I investigate? What can I talk about from my own perspective? And can I go find another mom or dad out there dealing with these issues if I'm not dealing with them myself to write about it? And one thing that my kids are three and a half, and my daughter, and my son is six, and he's just started kindergarten. So I don't have a newborn mm-hmm. anymore. And it's funny the things you forget about when you get past that stage. And so that's why I wanted to launch the Amazing Arc of Moms series, yeah. Because I want to hear from those moms that are brand new and what are they dealing with? And they have the unique ability to talk about it in the space that they're in right now.
Yeah. I love that idea. I saw that the Amazing Arc of Moms. I think that will be great. And I think creating a platform where you will invite others to join you and guest yes. posts will be a critical part of what you do, because I think people will learn who you are and will build this relationship with you. But you can only tell your story. So if you can tell many other stories as well, it will be even more that more impactful.
Yeah, Rosa. And I think that the Architox series that was talking about a day in the life, that was also right around the same time when you said there's space for this blog for moms. And Rosa got an overwhelming response from, she said, you know, what's a day in the life of an ARCA mom? And had a whole series, and a bunch of people wrote in for that and talked about it. And I actually wrote a post and I sent it to Rosa and I said, wait. After I sent it, I wrote her back and I said, wait, don't post it, because I want to be able to post it and launch my blog with it. And so that's what I did. But there's an amazing collection of stories on the Missing 32% blog. And I think that you're so right. I would love to hear from other moms and dads, their story and their advice and the things that they're dealing with. I really hope to get a lot more guest blog posts.
Yeah, I think there are many, many moms who are listening right now, and dads who are nodding their head right now about all the things that you're saying. And there's your invitation, people. It's arcamom.com. You can contact Amy and tell us your story. I want to know your story. Amy wants to hear your story, and we can share your story with the world. And the more we all communicate and talk with one another and share what we're going through, we'll all learn from one another. But we'll also inspire and support one another, and that change will start to happen just by us sharing the information.
Absolutely.
Let's take a quick break to thank FreshBooks for support as a platform sponsor. As a platform sponsor, FreshBooks has provided funding and support for our mission to become an influential force in the profession of architecture. They recognize the need for small firms to build better businesses in order to be better architects. And this week, I contacted FreshBooks and requested a service rep to help walk me through the site and show me how FreshBooks works. And within minutes, I received an email asking for a time to schedule a call. So the next day, I had a call from a very knowledgeable representative. His name was Paco. And Paco spent almost an hour with me. He walked me through each section of the process of invoicing and expense tracking, time tracking, financial reports, everything. FreshBooks does everything. So now I know everything I need to know in order to transfer my books from QuickBooks over to FreshBooks and to get started right away invoicing my clients with email. And I could even now accept credit cards. And over at the Entrepreneur Architect Academy, we're always talking about finances and we're always looking for a solution to make managing finances simple. Well, my friends, FreshBooks is that solution. For more information and access to a free 30-day trial, go to freshbooks.com/architect and enter Entree Architect in the How Did You Hear Us section. And once you sign up, you too can request a free tour and learn everything you need to know to get started. freshbooks.com/architect and let them know Entree Architect sent you. What are some of the things that you, as you sort of get into this and research and do the things that you need to do and live your life and write about it, because I find that living your life and then writing about it sort of makes you reflect on what you're doing, and you very often learn from what you're doing just by writing about it. Are there any specific things that since you launched the blog in January that have changed or that have become more apparent to you, or lessons learned that you've learned?
I think the biggest one that I'm dealing with right now, well, I kind of already talked about the, you know, the Do You Ever Wonder story.
Yeah.
That one came to me. I have been traveling for work, and it's really hard to be away from my family right now, especially because when I travel for any length of time, we have to set up babysitters and care for the kids while my husband's at school, and it's this juggling act that's really challenging. And also, it's hard to be away from my kids when they're this young, and I imagine that that will always be the case. But right now, one of the things, I just read a great article online about emailing at night. And so lesson learned, I think my next blog post will probably be about flex time. And just being able to have flexible working hours, which my firm is great at. I get my son on the bus in the morning and get in, and a lot of times I'm not in the office till 9, and I have to leave at 5. So if I have a lunch in there, I didn't get an eight-hour day in. And so they are really flexible, and I can make that time up at night. But a lot of what I am doing is communicating at this stage in my career. And so a lot of times that means emailing. And the impact of sending an email at 10, 11, 12 o'clock at night on your team can send a message. And you have to be really careful about that. And so flex time is an amazing thing, but we have to be really conscious about how we use it. And so I personally, and I'm not good at this yet, I'm not perfect, but I've started writing my emails and saving them in the drafts folder and then sending them in the morning when I get up or when I get to work. And, you know, that is a change that has come as a direct result of this blog, I think, and of being more cognizant of what it means. And the other thing is I've really just done my best to be a resource for people to come and talk, because I have become a little bit more poised to talk about a lot of this stuff. And recently a friend of mine is an HR director. He contacted me and said, "Oh my God, we don't have a mother's room. How is that?" He just started in this role. And he was like, "I don't know anything about," he's not a parent. And he said, "I don't know anything about it. Can you help me?" And I said, "Yes, actually I can help you on that one." And so we talked about that. And so just becoming a little bit more of a resource has been great for me personally. But then also other people within my networks here have found support in other people as well. So that's been really fun to witness, is women finding mentors and women just being able to connect with other women, and the support network starting to really firm up a little bit here has been really encouraging.
Yeah, the Do You Ever Wonder blog post, I think, is something that will probably come back again and again. I would love to see you experiment with some of those I wonders and sort of and then report on how they worked out, you know, good and bad, and sort of, you know, because obviously you're a courageous woman. You've done all these things and you've taken these leaps. It'll be interesting to see you take some leaps on things that are scary and potentially harmful, potentially to your career, and see how it works. And then others will be able to learn from those experiments. Do you imagine that you would be doing some of that kind of work?
Yes, I do imagine that I will be doing some of that kind of work. And, you know, maybe this is kind of an experiment, that the email thing that I've started doing, and I still am really, I need to be more diligent about it. Some emails I'll send off, and some I will put in my drafts folder, depending on, you know, who
I have a solution for you on that. And I don't know the name of it, and I'll find it and I'll send it to you and I'll put it on the show notes. But there is an app that you can work all your email through the app, and then you can schedule your responses. So you can say, okay, I want this to go out tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, and then hit it, send it off, and it's as if it's sent, but it sits out there until tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, and then it sends. You won't have to go back to your draft box to find the emails and then send them again later.
That sounds like a great app.
I will find it and I'll let you know what it is.
Great.
And I think also in terms of flex time, I think that's a huge part of the solution. That when firms begin to make flex time normal, and the culture and it goes from, you know, being judged on time and how many hours you spent in the office, and it changes to merit and how well you did your job. As long as you get that work done, it doesn't matter how long it took you or when you did it. If you can get to the point where firms don't have hours, my firm doesn't even have hours. I mean, we have hours, business hours for phone calls and things like that for clients. But my team works when they want to work. Some of them work on the weekends. Some of them work in the middle of the night. Some of them don't work during the week. You know, they work when they want to work. And as long as the work is getting done and the clients are happy with the result, then business is good. And I think that can happen at the larger levels as well, at the larger firms. I think it's just a matter of changing the culture and gradually experimenting with these opportunities to see how it works and then adjust. And then, you know, it's a cultural shift. It's not something that will happen overnight, but slowly, with people like you doing what you do, I think we'll get there.
And I think you hit on a really key point in all of this for me, is I work at a really large firm and you work at a really fairly small firm. And I think there's some fundamental differences in how things happen. And I think that the issues that I face as a mom in a large firm are different than
different.
The issues that a mom faces in a small firm. You know, for example, in a small firm under 50 people, they might not get FMLA. They might not qualify. And so, not that a firm wouldn't offer that, but they wouldn't have to, I don't think.
That's the Family Leave Act, right?
I mean, the Family Medical Leave Act. Yep. And so there's issues that parents deal with at small firms, and there's issues that parents deal with at large firms. And they're sometimes the same and they're sometimes different. And that's one perspective I'm really curious about, is the small firm perspective, because I have my perspective, which is the big firm, and I really would love to hear from a lot of people, because a lot of our architects are in small firms. And I think that there are unique issues there that I would love to learn more about.
Yeah.
And what you were just talking about too, the flex time, you've been able to achieve it in your firm, which I think is amazing and great. And I think you're right. There is probably space for it in a larger firm. It's just figuring out how do you deal with that flex time. And as a parent, if you've got flexible time, to understand and prioritize your time, time management becomes a huge, huge important key factor in what you're doing, and you have to be really good at time management to be able to do flex time.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you. I mean, I could very easily not work ever because no one knows when and where I work. So it's up to me to make sure that the work gets done in a timely manner. And so that is a big part of that calculation. Mm-hmm. Are there anything else? We're sort of wrapping up here. Is there anything else that you sort of want to get the message out and let people know about?
I guess the message that I would want to send to working parents is if you think that architecture is not for you for some reason anymore, reach out and have a good conversation with some other working parents. I was really close to leaving the profession, I'm not going to lie. And the work that I've been doing with women in architecture has kept me in and been really amazingly fulfilling for me. And it's been instrumental in my well-being and in my day-to-day happiness. And I would just really encourage parents. I'm not saying that you shouldn't take a leave. I'm just saying don't give up hope on the profession. There's a lot. We all became architects for a reason, and it was a good reason. And the profession can and has to change to adapt to better support working parents. And it will, and it's going to, and it started already, and we're starting to see the change. And so before you really leave, reach out, talk to some working parents, talk to people, because there's likely a solution. And my two pieces of advice, and I've lived by this mantra for a long time, dream big, dream so big, because it just might happen. And the second piece is, don't be afraid to ask. I'm amazed. I get really afraid to ask things. And sometimes I'm just like, oh, I'm just going to do it no matter how painful this is going to be, how painful I think it's going to be. And 9 times out of 10, I go in with a case that says, I need to do this for this, this, and this reason, and it's going to benefit you for this, this, and this reason. And they're like, well, yeah, that makes perfect sense. Go right ahead. And I'm like, what?
Yeah, right.
It was that easy. I just had to ask. And so don't be afraid to ask for what you need as a working parent, because I bet your firm is going to support it. And if they say no, then work with them to find a solution that's going to work for both of you.
Yeah, great advice. Great advice. Thank you for that. And thank you very much for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. I think the message that you are spreading and the work that you are doing is critical. I think that there are pieces that are missing in the profession. And I think the gap, the void that we discussed earlier, needs to be filled. And I thank you for filling it.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Is there any place, what's the best place that people can find you if there are listeners out there who want to contact you just to say thank you for being here today, or if they want to get involved in your blog or anything else you're doing, what's the best way that they can get in touch with you?
Sure. So right on the blog, there's space for comments under the About Me section or About the Blog section, and that's arkamom.com. And I'm also on Twitter. My handle is just @AmyKaler. I'm pretty new to Twitter. Those are probably the two best places to get in touch with me. I'm also on LinkedIn. The Women in Architecture and Design Twin Cities group has a LinkedIn page. And I'm always posting articles there, some pretty great articles. So if you're looking to just read up on issues that women face, that's a great place to do it. But I would say Twitter or the blog.
Okay. And the ArcaMom Twitter handle is taken.
So, it is.
So if there's anybody out there in the podcast land who knows who owns ArcaMom @ArcaMom on Twitter, let us know. We'd love to talk to them.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
Okay. Well, fantastic. Thank you for your leadership as an architect and as a mom. So thank you very much for being here.
Thank you so much, Mike.
And before we wrap up here, I just wanted to let you know about Entree Architect One Day Live event. Yes, It's a live event. Finally, people have been asking for live events. This is your opportunity. It's scheduled for May 17th in Atlanta, Georgia. That may sound familiar. That is the day after the AIA convention. So whether or not you are attending the convention, this is the place where you will experience real growth. It is an all-day mastermind event where a small group of small firm architects will join together, take massive action, and make some serious progress with their business. This is not a sit back and watch the seminar event. This is a roll up your sleeves and get to work event. This may be the game changer you're looking for to take your firm to the next level. For more information, visit entrearchitect.com/Atlanta. entrearchitect.com/Atlanta. And if you like this episode, as always, please go to iTunes and leave me a review, because this is how you may help me spread the word about Entrepreneur Architect and our mission to become an influential force in this profession. And yes, we are making progress. We are becoming influential, more influential every day. And it's because of you spreading the word. So go to entrearchitect.com/iTunes, or if you find yourself in iTunes, just search for Entrepreneur Architect and you'll find us. So that's a wrap on today's show. Show notes and a direct link to download this episode may be found at entrearchitect.com/episode68. Before we go, as usual, quote of the week. This is from Sheryl Sandberg, author of Lean In, but it was very appropriate for this episode of the podcast. Sheryl Sandberg, Lean In. What would you do if you weren't afraid? Think about that one. My name is Mark R. LePage, and I am an entrepreneur architect. I'll see you next week.
From historic homes to modern architecture, brick is one of the most popular building materials around the world.
How to allow the house to bridge the gap between the history of the site, the approachability of this kind of architecture in this kind of neighborhood, and the sort of nostalgia of materiality for the client's past, right? And brick really started to provide an answer for that.
Hi, I'm Doug Pat, and this is Design Vault. There aren't many materials that easily blend with any style and context, but brick does just that. I've seen some extraordinary work with brick, so when Glengarry approached me about hosting this podcast, I couldn't say no.
Typically, Tudor-style houses from outside are just stunningly gorgeous piece of structure, and when you go in, it's just sad.
Yeah.
Dark. And that is not going to happen with my approach to design.
I speak with industry leaders and share inspiring stories behind their work and ingenious design.
You'll see brick that's fashioned into basket weave patterns, sawtooth patterns, what's known in England as diapering.
Doesn't sound like you knew them per se, right? They found you through relationships that you had with other.
Well, wait, Doug, there's more.
Okay.
We'll go behind the scenes to understand process and even the inspiration that sparked the design.
You know, I think we were inspired by all the factory buildings in Dumbo. I mean, that is the kind of period of significance, that early American factory building.
Design Vault by Glengarry. Visit glengarry.com/design-vault or search for Design Vault wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe now to stretch your imagination.
Attention architects and creative minds, get ready to supercharge your brand with Build Your Brand, the podcast that's unlocking the secrets of branding success for creatives. Hey there, it's Mark R. LePage, founder of Entree Architect, and I'm inviting you to join my friend, architect marketing expert, Jeff Eccles at Build Your Brand podcast, where he explores the captivating stories of the world's top brands and transforms their lessons into powerful moves for small firm architects and creatives like you. In season one, Jeff shares the thrilling tale of Southwest Airlines, where he dissects their journey to the summit and distills it into strategies tailor-made for you.
It's important to keep in mind that companies like Southwest compete in the real world, just like you, and face real-world challenges, just like you. You might be surprised at how similar those challenges are to the struggles that you grapple with on a day-to-day basis.
Don't miss out on your blueprint for success. Subscribe, tune in, and let's build your brand together.
You may have noticed that the very best brands in the world are also known for having somewhat unique corporate cultures. That's often the glue that holds everything together when they encounter those rough spots.
We don't do it because it inconveniences the passengers to whom we are primarily dedicated, the short-haul frequent flyer.
Follow the link in the show notes to subscribe to Build Your Brand today. Remember, no matter the size, the journey's the same. Your brand's journey to the top starts here.